Hello, everyone, and welcome to Super Podcast. I am your amazingly awesome host, Super Marcy. And not with me, as always, is Bede, because he decided to have a Twilight marathon. However, I have a very special guest, and it is her first time on the podcast. And yes, folks, you heard that correctly. I said her. There is another woman on the podcast. It's not just me. So, guys, please welcome making her debut on this podcast, and I'll be popping her super podcast cherry. Please welcome our lovely new website contributor and lover of me. That's just for the guys because they want that in there. Please welcome B. Hi.
Hi.
There she is. There she is. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure.
Why are we talking like this?
I don't know, but I don't know. It's very rare that, you know, another lady comes on the podcast, so we just got to make it all sexy for the guys that listen. I don't know. I'm just talking rubbish right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's me. 90 seconds into this podcast and I've derailed it, so go me.
Whatever.
But anyway, welcome, welcome, welcome. I know we've talked about you coming on the podcast for a while and finally we've made it happen. And for people listening that might not know.
Because you asked nicely.
Yeah, for people that might not know. B writes reviews and they go on supermarcy.com and we're both kind of in the process because I post them, she writes them, of doing, of going through Hammer horror Dracula movies. So hopefully when I'm a little bit better, I'll post the next one so everyone can read your awesomeness of reviewing.
You're too kind. Far too kind.
They're very fun, so go to the website, check out Bee's reviews. It's an easy title to remember, and there's lots of Dracula going on because he's cool.
And it's a very, very awesome website, so you should go to it anyway.
Yes, I put a lot of hard work into it.
Damn right.
Yes, and I'm gonna use Dracula for a segue because we're going to talk about something vampire related because we love vampires and why not talk about them again?
Exactly.
Yes. I am going to hopefully have a series of vampire related podcasts focusing on a few movies. And would you like to tell our listeners what two movies we've picked for this podcast to talk about?
Absolutely. So basically Marcy and I are doing a podcast on two very specific vampire films. Both of them Both of them were made in the 1980s, so that was one of the best times to be a vampire as well as a killer. So we're going to be talking about Fright Night and Near Dark, both films of which we love the ever-living F out of. And hopefully we can inform you about why we love them, what we didn't quite like, and why we think they contrast so well. And that probably didn't make any sense whatsoever, but we're just going to talk about what we love about them.
It makes perfect sense. Now, moving forward, as much as I absolutely do love both these movies, I do think that every movie does have its flaws in some way, so we will cover those as well as all the reasons why we love these films. So basically, We'll start with Fright Night, and then we'll talk about Near Dark, and then we'll talk about some of their contrasts and sort of, I think they kind of make a good double feature as well. So that's our three segments. So let's get right into it with Fright Night.
What would you do if you accidentally discovered the house next door was occupied by something not human? Something horrifying. Something unspeakably evil. No one believes you.
Mom, I didn't have a nightmare.
Not your mom.
They did kill a girl over there.
Not your girlfriend.
Charlie, is this some sort of a trick to get me back?
Not even the police.
Look, I know it's crazy. I know that, but look, Lieutenant!
It knows that you know. You'll do anything to protect yourself. But it will do anything to protect its secret. Fright Night. If you love being scared, this could be the night of your life.
So, grab your crucifixes and your garlic, expose your neck, and let's have some fun.
Yes, and invite... oh my gosh, I'm already going blank. Invite Jerry Dandridge over to your house. Or maybe not.
Let's not go there just yet.
No. All right. So I'll behave. Let's go over the plot. We have Charlie Brewster, and he kind of notices something a bit weird about his neighbor, Jerry, and he sees him doing some vampiric related things when he's peeping through the window, which is basically he's being a peeping Tom. And Jerry starts to mess around and kind of wants to make things a bit difficult for Charlie, and Charlie doesn't really know what to do, so he enlists the help of a dude called Peter Vincent because he thinks he can help, and Peter Vincent is like a TV host of horror movies.
And he's also a hack.
But that's an awful, awful description of the plot, but that's the best I can do off the top of my head. So we can get down to, I guess, what we like about it. And I guess, I mean, we could start in terms of just the basic plot. Like, what did you like about it, and what maybe you, blah, blah, blah. What did you like and what didn't you like, just about the plot to start with?
About the plot itself?
Yes.
Well, here's what I liked. The fact that it took... like a very basic concept, and for example, like the old story you used to hear, the boy who cried wolf. That's like a parable of lying.
Yeah.
And when you do tell the truth, nobody believes you.
Exactly.
And that is such a relatable concept because that's a tale we've all been told at some point.
Ooh.
And the way that Tom Holland and co incorporated that as the basis for the plot of Fright Night is quite inventive. Simple as it may be, it is still really quite good. How about you? What did you like about it?
I actually like that it's simple. It's not confusing. And it creates interesting dynamics between Charlie, his friend, his girlfriend, his mum, and then Jerry and Peter Vincent. So I like all those characters. I like their interactions. I think that's all done really well when they put it together. And I actually like the idea of them calling upon someone who they think can help, but he really has no idea. I've always loved that kind of thing. I think it works perfectly in the film.
Absolutely.
So they're things I really like. If there's anything you didn't like just about the plot, what would that be, if there is one? Like a negative
part. Say again?
What didn't you like about the plot, if there was something you didn't like?
I really have to think of that one in terms of plot, but what I want to know is Charlie is a teenager. He's an awkward teenager, and we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, he's a peeping Tom, and it kind of this doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but because that's how the movie really kicks in. It's like he sticks his nose where it shouldn't belong, and we're expected to cheer for him.
Mm.
And he's kind of you think, you dickhead.
Yeah, I know.
He goes around spreading, saying, oh, he's a vampire, you know. As a hero, he's hard to relate to in that regard.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
He is a bit creepy. Nitpicking. Yeah, I find that peeping Tom aspect a little bit creepy, just the way it is, because he's like, ooh, they're getting it on. I'm going to watch them. I was like, ooh, dude.
Because introducing a hero like that, it's kind of like a, what was that Halloween film with Paul Rudd in the main lead?
Halloween 6.
Yeah, the Curse of Michael Myers, that's, I think. Yeah. Well, when we first meet him, he's spying on the woman next door. And how is he supposed to be the hero again?
Yeah, it's not exactly Alfred Hitchcock and making Rear Window. We're like, why is he even looking out the window? He's just a little pervert. And I agree, that's kind of a thing that just makes me laugh because it is a bit silly. Like, you know, he is a bit of a, just a really silly teenage boy. But actually, apart from anything else, I don't really think there's much negativity to the plot because I think it is a really good and simple plot. Let's go to our characters. My favourite character is Jerry.
Wow, really?
He's an interesting and mysterious character. He is a vampire, and I like that this movie does. It plays with the fact that he's incredibly sexy, but he's very dangerous and very creepy, and that just works so well. And it helps that a really nice and handsome Chris Sarandon is playing him. And he just oozes that sexiness. So, yeah, it's really good. It's a different kind of vampire, which we can get into next when we talk about more of the vampire stuff. But he's my favourite. And as much of, like, a clueless person Peter Vincent is, I do really like his character. And that has a lot to do with Roddy McDowall and his performance, because I think he's awesome. And Peter Vincent is definitely, like, he's a character that I think a lot of love went into creating that character. Yeah,
considering the namesake of his character, Peter Cushing and Vincent Price.
Yes.
Peter Vincent.
They could have had, like, Price Cushing, but that wouldn't have had the same effect. What about you? What about your favourites, which I think maybe might be on the same page as mine?
Yes. Okay, well, definitely Jerry Dandridge, and Chris Sarandon is perhaps his most sexiest.
Yes. I mean,
for all those reasons, keeping it on the level, but also not just because of the reasons which you listed, Marston, but also the fact that he has a sense of humor about him, like he isn't afraid to give back to Charlie, like with the sarcasm and, you know, being an asshole, but not being a douchebag about it.
Mm.
You sort of find yourself laughing along with Jerry at Charlie.
Yeah, you kind of like, just, yeah. I would be doing that too if I caught that little shit spying on me.
The way that a lot of what makes Jerry work as a character is definitely because of Sarandon. Because I haven't read the script to Friday Night, I haven't looked at it, but I have a feeling that Jerry was perhaps a little more 2D on the page, and then Chris Sarandon came in and just developed this character.
Yeah.
I read an article that was published a while back, and the interviewer asked Sarandon, you know, what was your inspiration for Jerry? And he had this really creative reply saying that he suspected that the reason why Jerry ate so much fruit was because he had fruit bat in him, like a genetics.
Like a real bat, kind of.
Yeah, and it's just that sort of that little detail, the fact that Sarandon thought about these things and incorporated into his performance is really quite magical, as a matter of fact. You don't see that sort of attention being paid to like a horror villain that much these days, do you?
No, and it's funny you mention that because Colin Farrell actually took a lot of that into his role in the remake, and he kind of he did look into a lot with Sarandon's performance and stuff, and he did bring up that fact, I saw in an interview he did for the movie. So I think it's pretty interesting. Generally it's an interesting fact, and funny that he thought of it, because I wouldn't think that a lot of like when people are doing a vampire movie, I don't think they really think about the bat side of it. So kudos to him for that.
Huge kudos to Mr. Sarandon, seriously. And also, yes, Roddy McDowall is the doddering Peter Vincent. You don't think he's a bad person whatsoever, but the fact that he wheedles money out of Charlie and just he screws him over, basically. But when push does comes to shove, he's loyal. Like, he comes back and he proves himself. And, you know, Roddy McDowall is a huge winner in that role. Yeah, I can't think of anybody else playing that particular type of character except for Roddy. Bless his soul. And also Stephen Geoffreys as Evil Ed. So many people find him annoying, and for about 5 minutes, yes, he is. But then you think, then you see the way Geoffreys performs the character as a person, like. He really is a sad, broken outcast. And Jerry picks up on that because he knows what it's like to be different. A friend of mine, Ryan, this is a shout out to Ryan, by the way. He's excellent. He's awesome. He has this theory that Evil Ed was actually a homosexual. And that's why he was such an outcast. And some of the mannerisms in his performance, like his interactions with Charlie and all that, it's just like, this is a very hurt young man. And the way Geoffreys plays him, it is quite touching once you get past this sort of, oh, you're so cool, Bruce Harrison.
Yeah, it's that screechy voice that makes him annoying. But other than that, I mean, I think he does a good job. And Evil Ed is very memorable.
And I actually felt very sorry for him. Like, before Jerry asks, you know, take my hand, you see the look of sadness and hope on Ed's face is like, this man can save me. You see him for the vulnerable human being that he was in that split second. It was, I actually really liked that moment.
Go Evil Ed.
Yeah, go Evil Ed.
Go Evil Ed.
Get down for that stuff.
Yeah.
Since none of you can see what we're doing, we're sort of like doing like cowgirl kind of gestures.
And you can take that as whatever way you want. let's move along to characters maybe we didn't like that much. I didn't mind the girlfriend role of Amy. And I really like Amanda Burse. I grew up watching her on Married with Children, but I don't think she works entirely well. I think some moments she's really good and some moments she doesn't quite work as well. You know, that's not having any, like, saying it's a bad thing. I just think she was kind of half and half on the role. But that's probably the only issue I've had.
It's an uneven sort of performance.
Yeah, but that's probably the only issue I have. I mean, there were moments where she really ran with it, and I think towards the end of the film she was a bit better. And she had a very nice vampire look to her that was creepy as all hell.
Oh, that friggin' mouth. It's like, it would make Melina from Mortal Kombat shiver, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It'd take a lot to make Melina shiver. But, yeah, I agree with you on the prospect that the that Amy in this movie. Also, you couldn't really see what Jerry saw in her. Like, she was meant to have a resemblance to one of Jerry's many women. But just for most of the movie, she's like a, I wouldn't say like a harpy or anything, but sometimes she comes off as a little bit whiny. And you just think, you know, take a chill pill, settle down. Yeah, and that's where I think the remake of Amy is better. Like Imogen Poots, like she was great. She was a very, very good improvement. And just Oh, another character that I liked was Billy Cole, Jerry's day watcher. Oh, he's awesome, awesome. But anyway, Amy, not a bad performance by any means. But just you couldn't see what Jerry could see.
Mm.
So yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that's one thing I think the remake did a lot better, which I do enjoy the remake. I think it is a pretty fun movie. I do like the original better, but I think that's one thing they thought about and, yeah, changed for good reason. Let's talk about our vampire mythology in the movie. It is a little different than, I guess, what had come before it in a way. I don't know. I felt like Jerry was definitely not something we'd seen traditionally. He was very, very different. He felt a lot more modern. And as we already mentioned, a lot of the little things like his fruit eating, because you never really would see them eating anything, just drinking blood. And he was one that definitely played mind games, and he wasn't one to hide himself. He moved in, he makes that aware, he visits them. Well, he has to visit them so he can get in the house, but you know what I mean? He wasn't sort of hidden away. And it's interesting when he's in his vampire form, it's ugly, it's scary, it's what you kind of want from it. Because you got the one hand, it's all sexy, and then it's all like, oh gosh, that's creepy.
You don't want.
And they kind of keep the a lot of the traditional things that we know, like the sunlight. We have they added in like the stake, and we saw this one kept in that mythology of them being able to turn into wolves, which was really interesting. It was like when I first watched it, I remember being confused, going, wait, is he a werewolf? What's going on? And then I kind of like realized, oh, okay, that's part of some mythology with vampires. So I think it's interesting that they did add that. It's a lot different. And yeah, I actually really don't have anything negative to say about the vampire stuff. I actually think it really works well. What about you?
Well, I do agree with you that I can't find anything negative about the lore in this movie. What I liked about how the lore is treated is that in the movie, it looks forward and it looks back. And it always has a very nice balance of both the old world and the new world. Like the character of Jerry Dandridge was created in the 80s. He was a product of the time. He was also very contemporary. He didn't call attention to himself. He enjoyed his privacy. And when you think about it, Jerry is kind of like us. Like, we don't want some bratty little kid watching us when we're doing stuff.
Yeah, you know, windows are closed.
He values what we value. Like, we can understand what he wants.
Mm.
In addition to the fact that he isn't afraid to be nasty when the time calls for it.
Yeah.
He isn't vindictive for vindictiveness' sake. He's appropriate when the time calls for it. And the fact that you know, as you said, one moment he's sexy, he's Chris Sarandon. The next, he's this monster. And the fact that he can blow you over with a bellow from his mouth, you know, it's like what the hell? But Yeah, and the fact that that it sort of incorporates the old world and the new world. Like, the old world is like the sunlight, the crosses, but in this case it has a really good explanation for it. Like, it doesn't affect them if you do not have faith in it.
Mm.
Like, you can have it made like wherever you want, but you as the wielder has to have faith in it, otherwise it won't work. And the fact that Jerry, he drinks blood and everything, but he eats fruit as well, which goes back to the whole bat thing. Like, he mm. has his roots. He has, like, a background. He has a history. And when it comes to vampire movies these days, like, you don't get enough history of where the character comes from. In this case, a vampire. So, yeah, I no negatives about that whatsoever, because it's just a very clever combination of both of the eras. And the way that it was mixed together is really, really funky. I love it.
It's pretty cool. What else is there with this movie? I'll just name some things I like. I like the soundtrack because it's awesome. it's a really nicely shot film. I think it's paced really well. I think the ending stuff is really well handled. It's a really good, you know, like, third act climax of everything. I love the scene in the nightclub, and that's all I'll say about that one.
All that you'll say on this podcast anyway.
Yes. I will lose it if I continue talking about it anymore.
Think of the children, Marcy. Think of the children.
Yes. What else did you like about the movie?
Definitely the soundtrack. But I have that soundtrack in my room.
Me too.
And I'll break it out every so often and just listen to it. And it's just, it's so 80s, but it works so wonderfully with the movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that what I really love about the movie is that it has a sense of humor.
It does.
For, you know, 1 second it's freaky, but it's never so much that you want to cover your eyes and never want to see it again.
Mm.
At the same time, it's funny, but not sort of laugh out loud. But all the time, it's a playful movie. It's very sort of fang-in-cheek, to use a much hackneyed term.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's something that you can watch over and over again and just get so much joy out of, even if you know it quote by quote.
Yeah. There's never a dull moment with Fright Night. It's always pretty entertaining. It's a lot of fun, so... Yeah, obviously we're big fans, so big thumbs up on Fright Night. Shall we move to our next movie?
Yes, we shall.
Okay. Our next movie, obviously, is Near Dark from Catherine Bigelow.
Caleb Colton no longer belongs to our world.
We'll give him a week, see if we can call him one of us.
He belongs to hers.
But you have to learn to kill.
He belongs to theirs.
I don't want to kill.
He makes a kill tonight.
And they all belong to the night.
It's $3 short for a bus ticket home. You help me out?
What are you on?
Believe me, I told you.
Near Dark. Pray for daylight. The night has its price.
Girl power. I should add, you know, about Fright Night, that was directed and written by Tom Holland, and Near Dark was co-written by Catherine Bigelow and Eric Red. So a really good team there. Mm. Good team right there. And this one is, I would say, because we got Fright Night is... a little more playful. This one's a bit more serious. So I'll try and give a plot synopsis that isn't awful, and I bet it will be. So we have a family of vampires, and they come to a town. A young guy sees them. He falls for one of the girls in the group, and she bites him, and he starts turning into a vampire, and he tries to experience what life is like with them, always being on the run while his family try to find him. That's another, again, I mean, it is a simple premise. So I guess we'll kick off with things we liked about the plot. And I went first before, so you can go first now. What are your plot highlights and things you liked?
Well, in regards to the plot, while Friday Night was very playful and had, like, it had fun in mind, Near Dark was basically more of a character study. It paid a lot more attention to the characters, in particular Adrian Pazdar's character. You know, he was basically the audience, and we were seeing this transformation and his experiences through his eyes. And I find that if you can connect with a character, it makes their journey a lot more resonant within you. And the fact that they've used the vampires as nomads, like they travel around, they never stay in one place because they know instinctively if they stay in one place, they're dead, you know. And it's sort of like, when you think about it, it's like a teenage boy running away from home. Like when he falls in love with May, it's like love at first sight. And when she bites him and he goes along with them, like, and his parents try to find him, it's like it's running away from home. It's an act of rebellion, if you want to call it that. And I just think it's a very, very fascinating sort of way of dealing with a storyline as well as the protagonist. That's what I liked.
I agree. I like that as well. Definitely. One of the things I love about this movie is that it feels like a bit of a Western. And I know that the pair wanted to make a Western, but they ended up changing it up. So we get a kind of modern vampire type of Western, and it definitely has that feel. I mean you can feel that with how it is, the setting and stuff. That's one thing, you know, about it. But I like, you know, specifically going to plot, how it is almost a road movie in a way. And the fact that we get to experience this vampire lifestyle, and it's not glamorous in any way. It is very dark. It can be a bit upsetting, and you can definitely feel the conflict within Caleb, the Adrian Pazdar character, and even in May as well. And it does explore, one thing I found interesting was it explores that one of the vampire group, Homer, he was turned when he was a kid. So he looks like a kid, but he really is a man in a kid's body. So he has to deal with that. And that's an interesting, like, bit of character study there.
And it's sort of like Claudia from Interview with a Vampire, like the woman in the child's body, like eternally damned to be like that.
But this one obviously takes, you know, the boy instead of the girl in Interview with the Vampire. So I liked how they handled this, because it is different, but it does hit the same theme. And I do like the elements of Caleb's father and sister trying to find him. And just certain bits, like where they end up. And I actually think it's really well set out. And it does have a really good kind of confrontation at the end and stuff like that. I think it's really good. I mean, we'll go into more of the vampire stuff after we talk about the characters, but I find it interesting that they never actually refer to themselves as vampires. Words never spoken. So that's something I think really worked for the movie. All right, so favorite characters. Over to you, rather. With your favorite characters.
Well, other than the obvious, like Caleb, like, as I said, he's us, so therefore we have to have some sort of connection with him. I also like May. Like, when you think about it, if you take away the fangs, she's really just another, you know, woman. You know, she's a person. And, you know, she isn't a bad person at all. Like, she doesn't come across as evil or lecherous or anything like that. She's, in a way, she's innocent. She's she's an angel with tainted wings. And when you compare her with the clan that she hangs out with, like Lance Henriksen and Bill Paxton, Jeanette Goldstein's character, you know, she's perhaps the most human out of all of them. And that's why Caleb fell in love with her, because he saw something in her that he liked, that was human, that echoed with him. It was something he could relate to. But if we're going to be talking about, like, sort of badasses, I definitely have to say Severin, played by Bill Paxton. He was just so badass in that movie. So he was just so crude and nasty. It's just, oh, I loved him. Like,
yeah.
Totally awesome, especially in the bar scene. Oh.
Yeah.
Nice shades, by the way. How about you? Who did you like?
Severin. He was my favorite. He is the vampire character who loves what he's doing. He likes that brutality. He's very, you know, he doesn't hide back from it. I think Caleb and May work so well. I mean, that they're a pair that you can feel it. They had chemistry, and such great performances from both of them. And you kind of do sort of feel that connection with May, which really, really works. And I really like Jesse, Lance Henriksen. He's definitely the old soul, and he's not on that level of, you know, brutality as Severin, but he definitely sees what they do. Like, he leads them. He, you know, tries to protect them, make sure they're not caught and that they feed. And I found he's very kind of a more, I guess, quieter character, but he plays it really, really well. And he's another one that put in a lot of thought and effort into his character. He actually grew out his nails because he felt like being a vampire, he would have long nails and things like that. He really thought about. And I think Jeanette Goldstein, even though she's not in it as much, I think she's a really good sort of side character. And she has a cool name with Diamondback.
That is a really cool name. But yeah with Jesse, Henriksen's character, he's also, he doesn't strike you as a bad person at all. You don't think him, like, when you see him, you don't think, oh, evil vampire.
Mm.
When you see what he does, he takes care of his people. He's like a father.
Mm.
You know, he isn't just some sort of this blood-sucking demon. You know? He feels compassion towards his clan, and that's why he takes care of them and ensures that they're safe and that sort of thing. Like, every sort of lead character in that movie has a human core, even if they're not human themselves.
Mm. And I do like the fact that they're very hesitant to bring in someone new because of what they do and how they live. I mean, I think it's very, very interesting, and it comes off really well.
The fact that they don't go around and spread their vampire virus willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You know, they have that in mind. It's like, you know, we shouldn't create too much of our kind because it creates complications.
Mm. Yeah, it's not like, maybe aside from Severin, they don't always revel in what they are.
No,
which I think is very interesting. How about, was there any characters that you thought didn't work or you didn't like or weren't as good?
Well, I wouldn't say I saw a very bad performance from anybody in that movie, but I was definitely invested in Caleb and Co's adventures. Like, when it came back to Caleb's family, I wasn't as involved with them as I was with Caleb and the other vampires.
Mm.
Because Caleb and the other vampires were like the main anchor of the story. Mm. You're the one, they're the ones who you went on that journey with.
Mm.
But like I said, not bad performances whatsoever, just not as truly involving.
Mm. I mean, I think the kids in the movie are a bit weak, but that's, I mean, it doesn't affect the movie that bad, and they do try. You can see that they're, you know, trying to do their best, so... As far as characters,
and they are kids anyway,
yeah. Well, they were, but yeah. I mean, I don't have anything really negative about the characters. I think they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
So, how about the vampire mythology? What did you like about it?
What I most liked about the vampire mythology was they were nomads.
Mm.
They were, as I mentioned before, like the reason why they didn't stay in one place for too long was because it would draw attention to them.
Mm.
And the fact that they didn't fight everybody and turn everybody in their sight. Yeah. They had a sort of a micro society going.
Mm.
And they had rules. They weren't lawless. They weren't reckless. That they were careful. They were sort of like an endangered species once you think about it. And if they got discovered, of course people would hunt them down.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting how they managed to sort of use logic in that case.
Mm.
Like you could see why they were the way they were and why they thought what they thought.
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. For me, I actually like that this really simplified things. It's stay out of the daylight, basically, for them to survive and feed. They stripped away a lot of, like, the religious elements, like the crosses. They took away things like the garlic. Stuff like that. I like that they just sort of kept it simple, and that, you know, they couldn't die by conventional means. I mean, they get, I believe it's Jesse gets shot and he spits up the bullet, which is something I've seen done more in more recent vampire films. I think he does it really well there. And I just like that it is really, really simple and you don't need to think about it too much.
I agree.
So that's definitely what I really love. Was there anything that you didn't like about the vampire mythos in the movie?
Not particularly. According to me personally, I don't have like a sort of a set of rules in which I have to have abided by in terms of any sort of anything vampire, like movie, book, comic, whatever. I don't have a staunch belief, you know. If something is done, even if it's not original, if it's done and if it's done well, I really have no problem with it. But then you have stuff like Twilight, you know, sparkly skin, and that's just like brushing the very tip of the iceberg. It's all in the execution. And with Near Dark, it was that sort of a simplified vampire lore. It worked very brilliantly because it didn't need all the sort of the bells and the whistles. It told you what you needed to know. That was it.
I think one thing that I think can either work or, you know, may not work for a lot of people is the very end with how to cure it, and that's with a clean blood transfusion. And I thought that it's something interesting. It's something we really don't see. And, I mean, I really do think that it was brave of them to take a chance with something like that. I don't entirely see it working, but I think that it is an interesting idea and concept.
Yeah, like...
Which, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a negative thing, though. But continue.
Yeah, the idea is, like, really great because they were ambitious to do it. They said, you know what, we're going to take a chance. If they don't like it, they don't like it. If they do, that's fine. It wasn't afraid to take that risk.
No, it wasn't at all. I mean, I pretty much love everything about this movie. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I can watch it all the time. I do try and watch it a few times a year at least because I love it so much. And I was lucky enough to have a few interviews with Lance Henriksen, and he has signed my DVD, which is awesome. And he gave me a nice free of charge signed 8x10 photo of his character Jesse. And I'm trying to get this out and it's not coming out. He's one of the nicest people. He's a very humble person, and he's fantastic, and I think he really is one of the standouts of the movie. Love it.
Definitely. Yeah, the whole movie really is like it's a loving sort of a tribute to a Western as well as a vampire movie.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a great piece. And we'll move on to our final segment where we're going to contrast the two movies. Now, as we've discussed, obviously they are kind of different in terms of their tone, their mythology, and how they think and everything. One thing I find interesting about the two movies is how we have Jerry, who's pretty much a loner. He has his day watcher, whatever you want to call him. But he actually, like, moves into a house, settles in a neighborhood. He preys on women that will probably not really be missed. And he messes around a little bit. He's a cheeky kind of person. Whereas on the other side, you have they're a group. So they're not loners. They're a lone group, but they're not alone. And they don't move into a house. They stay secluded. They move from town to town. They use very specific tactics to try and, you know, feed. So that I think that is what I find interesting and how they differ. What about for you? What things do you think stand out that are different but you like that they're different?
For basically the same reasons of which you stated, Marcy, but also the fact that that one movie, Fright Night, is humorous. It makes the effort to entertain you, whereas with Near Dark, it's sort of like a, forgive the pun, but it's also like a darker sort of movie. You know. One is relatively lighthearted. The other one has more of a heavy sort of hand to it. But you know, they both work because they're executed in such a very good way.
They both had the right tones for the movie.
Yeah, they're both appropriate. They both have appropriate tones for what they set out to do.
Yeah, I mean, Fright Night wouldn't have worked if it was 100% serious. It knows it can't be serious, so it rolls with it. And Near Dark couldn't have been, like, a funny, light movie because it is very heavy and it deals with a lot of things. And I think another interesting contrast is that Near Dark is very character-orientated and Fright Night isn't so much that, but it, you know, it has its characters, but it doesn't focus so much on them, but it just wants to tell a story and it wants to keep it fun. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another interesting difference between the two. I mean, as far as like the vampire mythology goes, you've got one that's very extreme and one that's very, I guess, stripped back, which again, they work for what they're doing. And I mean, they are really different, but I think for the films they work really well. I want to hear what you have to add on it.
Well, basically I guess this is more of a what they do have in common is that the vampires themselves are charismatic.
Definitely.
One way or another, you can relate to them, however extreme it may be. It's because the actors go that extra mile to sort of like bring you into the character. They don't sort of force a wall between you and them. You know, they make you like them, but if not like them, then find justification and say, yeah, I can see why you're doing that, or I can understand why you do what you do. So that's, like I said, that's not a difference. It's more of a similarity. But I like the fact that you can't hate any of them. You like them. You care. Even if they're bad guys, you still care about them.
You understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But I think what is really great is that, I mean, they are charismatic, and what they do need to do to feed is to lure the person in. To get that, and Jerry does that with the ladies, even though he's going to kill them, but he lures them in. And the others, I mean, they know what they have to do to bring someone in. Like Severin tries to be charming, the charming hitchhiker, and you got the Diamondback and Jesse kind of luring some guys and. They kind of make themselves seem like victims when, in fact, they're not. So I think that's kind of a good thing that they have in common. And that works, like, again. I don't know, is there anything else that you want to add on the pair of films before we wrap up?
Not really, but if, just in case this does come up, I don't think I could prefer one over the other. Like, they're both very different films, but they're films that you can watch and enjoy whenever you want because of how different they are and how well they're executed.
Yeah, I think they're two of perhaps the most memorable and some of the best, like, vampire and horror-elemented movies that came out of the 80s. I probably prefer Near Dark just because I've had a very long love affair with that movie, but that's not to say that I don't love Fright Night. But a funny thing, I've been rewatching Star Trek Deep Space Nine a lot, and I happened to come across an episode, and as I was watching it, I'm going, holy shit, it's Chris Sarandon, and I never, like, realized it was him, and I hadn't seen this episode for so long, and he is like this con man type of character, and it was so perfect for him, and I was like, this is awesome. Now I'm gonna rewatch this episode all the time.
But that's like when I was watching an episode of Law and Order, I forget which one it was, but I had a Sarandon guest starring as a judge, and I burst out laughing when I saw.
You can be the judge anytime. I mean, really? What? Mr. Sarandon, you can just be the judge anytime you like. I mean, what did I say? This is going to, like, derail everything we've just discussed, so I'm going to shut up about it.
You don't want to give anybody any nightmares.
No. I want to give me pleasant dreams, but, yeah, we'll just not go there. With that said, I would say that would be a wrap on our Fright Night Near Dark vampire discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And as I do with every end of a podcast, I thank my guest for joining me. And thank you. It has been a pleasure.
And it has been so much fun.
Yes, it has.
Thank you very much for having me, and good night to every one of you as well for listening, and thank you for putting up with me ranting.
Yes, I'm sure it's fine. I don't think our listeners have any complaints about two Aussie ladies having a chit chat.
Nah,
because we have such cool accents, and if we have Aussie listeners, just go along with it. We sound really awesome.
She'll be right.
We sound awesome. G'day, mate. That's not a knife.
Yeah. This is a knife.
it's our podcast motto, apparently.
Apparently, but that's not official.
It's unofficial. No. I might put it on a t-shirt or something, and I don't know.
I double dare you. I double dog dare you.
Alright. I'll do it and I'll make Bede wear it. Because
oh hell yeah.
He'll now, be the one I that wear has to do it.
With
it.
Or without pants?
He will wear like a Crocodile Dundee outfit. He'll have like the hat with the crocodile teeth in it. He'll be the works. We'll call him Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, well done.
And then I will wait for him to hear this and want to smack me over the head. Hey, we did go. We did go to an exhibition in the city, and they had the Crocodile Dundee knife. Like, that's not a knife, and they had his hat. So I could tell then he was into doing this dress up. He's going to go in the outback and wrestle crocodiles.
And hypnotize them.
With his eyes. He'll just look into them and be like, do as I command you. Yep.
Yeah, this is what happens when we go off the rails,
people. Yes. When Bede isn't around, it's customary to make some jokes aimed at him. With that said, again, thank you. And our listeners can find your reviews and my reviews at supermarcy.com. And they can send me tweets at twitter.com/supermarcy. They can look up Super Podcast on Facebook. And the address is facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast, which represents the website and the podcast. And we post awesome things on there. And you can send fan mail to marcy@supermarcy.com and hate mail to bede@twitter.com/bedejermine.
Because he's a terrible Australian.
Yes. And I do believe that is all of our notices. A new one. You can find us as part of the Big Top Network. And you can look that up on Facebook. It is under Big Top, one word, space, network. And there are a lot of other fantastic podcasts there to listen to. So head over, like them, and show your support for some awesome podcasts. And yes, with that, that is the end of the show. And I'm not sure what our next podcast will be, but I'm hoping it'll be a pre-Oscar podcast where you will probably hear lots of bitching and moaning because our good friend Sam, the British Sam, will be on the show, and I believe he was very grumpy last pre-Oscars podcast, so I think that'll continue on to the next one. So with that, I bid our listeners farewell.
Goodbye.
Bye. We love you. I'm waving and you can't see me. Woohoo.
Au revoir. I'll see you then.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye.
podcast was brought to you by the Big Top Network.